Hoisting the fees. And that's actually a command. If you look at, I mean, we're here because we wanted to be here, because we accepted God's generous offer to allow us to keep the feast. But if you look in the end of Zechariah, there's coming a time when he's going to make people keep the feast or they don't get any rain. So it's kind of, so in those days, it's going to be kind of like rejoice. You know, all creatures rejoice under pain of death. You know? I really enjoyed that sermonette. I never met that man before, but I couldn't have asked for a better introduction. He even wore the same kind of pants. Well, the Apostle Paul said that, you know, talking about speaking in tongues, he said, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So the title of my sermon today is 10 Words with My Own Understanding, or an alternative title, Statutes and Judgments and Laws, oh my. So let's go to the book of Exodus. Gotta be real close to this microphone. Exodus 24 and verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Well, the word for law here is Torah. The word for commandments is mitzvah. And the word for teach is hora, which is related to the same verb as Torah. So it means law and teaching, and it also means enlightenment. So let's take a look at the law that God gave him a few chapters back here in Exodus 20. Exodus 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Whether you know it or not, every one of you being here has been brought out of bondage too. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of generations of them that love me and keep my commandments. You know, when I looked at this part in Hebrew, the numbering was a little different. It said, unto 30 or 40 generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto tens of thousands of generations of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. Thou shalt not kill. Now, the Hebrew word for kill there is tertzak, and it doesn't refer necessarily to capital punishment or slaughtering cattle or things like that. It's murder. And funny thing about Hebrew, there's a lot of words for violence. Our Hebrew teacher used to give us a bonus quiz that he called the Rambo vocabulary quiz. It was like 12 words that could all be translated crush, kill, or destroy. Guess those were violent times back then. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Curiously enough, the word for adultery is related to the word for anger, as in it makes him angry. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Technically, that's not the same thing as lying. It's like actually accusing somebody falsely, or, you know, It's okay to lie if you're protecting somebody innocent from somebody crazy. You know, just read the story of David if you don't believe that. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We live in a world where covetousness is basically driving our economy. If you watch television every 15 minutes, they'll show you a bunch of stuff they want you to covet. But don't do that. Verse 18, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when people saw it, they removed and stood far off. Let's look over at Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes, that's hukim, and judgments, that's mishpachat. Hear all the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not his covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at the time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that's in earth beneath, or that's in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now notice here it says, showing mercy unto thousands, and it means thousands of generations because it goes back to the previous clause. Showing mercy unto thousands of generations of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now the word for commandments there is mitzvah. So that doesn't actually refer to the Ten Commandments specifically, but to the 613 commandments found throughout the Torah. So one of the Ten Commandments says that God will show you mercy if you're keeping the other commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments are commandments, but curiously enough, in the Hebrew text, they're not called the Ten Commandments. They're called the Ten Words, or Ten Sayings, or the Ten Debarim. That's the same word that they use whenever they say the Word of God. But anytime you see the Ten Commandments in the Bible, in the Hebrew, it's the Ten Words. They're like God's talking points. There are things that you're supposed to talk about and discuss with your children and think about them all the time. Think about them when you're laying down and going to bed. Think about them when you get up and get ready. Think about them when you're walking along talking to your children. Always have these ten commandments in your mind. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Let's see, where was I? Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it shalt thou not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that's within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. I had people try to tell me that the Sabbath was just for the Israelites, and that, you know, they weren't Israelites, but they didn't have to keep it. But, you know, somewhere in here it says that you should have the same law for the stranger and the native born. And anyway, if you're Christ, you're Abraham's seed, and you're grafted into Israel anyway. So remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and if you weren't a servant in the land of Egypt, I guarantee you were a servant of sin. That's just as bad as slavery. In fact, it's worse because you're doing it to yourself. Remember, you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So God has set us free. We're not slaves, we're freemen. We're God's freemen. Honor thy father and mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox or his ass, or anything that's thy neighbor's. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 32 and verse 15. Exodus 32 and verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, and he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he, Moses, said, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as they came nigh unto the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount, which is, in a way, kind of funny, because he just got done talking God out of being so mad that he was going to destroy everybody. And then when he saw what God was so upset about, he got mad and broke the stone tablets. Let's look at Exodus 34 and verse 1. Exodus 34, 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone, like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou broke. Let's look at verse 4, Exodus 34, 4. And he hewed two tables of stone, like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up into Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Let's go to verse 10, Exodus 34, 10. And he said, behold, I will make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Now, do you notice something odd here so far? Moses hewed out these two stone tablets, and he went up on the mountain, and God was supposed to give him the Ten Commandments again. But he's not given the same list that you've seen in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5. In fact, it's as if instead of giving the Ten Commandments again, he's just expounding more on the first four. Because those are the ones that people have trouble keeping. I mean, you can convince the average person that it's a bad idea to go around killing people. You can convince people, well, you can sort of convince people to give lip service to not committing adultery. Because, you know, it spreads disease, it breaks up families, causes all kinds of problems, you know. But you tell them they can't have idols, and they're like, well, it's not an idol, it's a picture. It's not an idol, it's an icon. Well, it's an idol. You try to tell people to keep the Sabbath, if God's not working with them, that's just stupid. You try to tell people not to take the names Lord in vain, and they'll cuss you out. I mean, there are Anglo-Saxon terms for natural body functions that you're not allowed to say on TV, but you can take the name of the Lord in vain on TV, even on children's shows. What is up with that? So let's go back to Exodus 34:15. The Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one calls thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of thy daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods, thou shalt make thee no molten gods. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. Again, this is an exposition that God is giving to Moses on the fourth commandment. He doesn't even get around to the last six commandments in this list because they're pretty obvious, you know. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep 7 days, shalt thou eat unleavened bread as I commanded thee in the time of the month of Abib, for in the month of Abib thou camest out of the month of, camest out from Egypt. All that open the matrix is mine, and every firstling among the cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou redeem him not, then thou shalt break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem. You're not allowed to break your son's neck. And none shall appear before me empty. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land, when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of Passover be left unto the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. And this next verse always makes me smile. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words have I made a covenant with thee and with Israel. So instead of giving him an exact repetition of the Ten Commandments again, he gives this exposition on the first four, and he's like, yeah, write this down. I said something like that. After the tenor of these words, I've made a covenant. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, or in Hebrew, the Ten Words, or Ten Sayings, or Ten Talking Points, if you like. So, in closing, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is right after he gave the list of Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, that's mitzvah, the statutes, that's hukim, and the judgments, that's mishpachat, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, excuse me, but the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Jesus called that the greatest commandment. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. The word sit there is related to the word for Sabbath, by the way. When thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walk by the way, and when thou lie down, and when thou rise up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Now some of the Jews take this literally, and they write these words on a little scroll and put it in a little box, and they bind it on their left hand or put it on their forehead between their eyes. But it's actually a metaphor, as was pointed out in the sermonette, that you should be keeping the Sabbath and the laws that he gave. And you notice, when the Jews do this, they tie the little box on their left hand. That's because your left arm is closer to your heart. That's why if you have a heart attack, you get the shooting pain down your left arm. But the mark of the beast is in your right hand. You know, it's kind of like the Muslims. They don't like the Jews, so like they always read the Torah, or they always read the, not the Torah, but what is it they read? The Quran, yeah. They always read the Quran with their right hand. But the Jews, they tie the commandments on their left hand, so that shows the difference there. But thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou planted not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. So think on these 10 words as you observe the feast and as you go back home and all the days of your life. Think about these 10 commandments, because they really are full of meaning. And I just want to say on a personal note that I'm very glad to be here. I wanted to come here last year, and I got sick and had to have surgery. And in fact, I was so sick that 13 months ago, I was trying to bargain with God. I was like, just let me live to January. Just let me make fun of all those people that think the world's going to end in 2012. One more time. But God was more merciful than that. I'm healthier and stronger than I was. I even lost like 50 pounds because of this, which is a good thing. And God is great. God is good. Have a happy feast, everybody. Thank you.